Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I like to play that song because that gets Freddie so fired up. But for the people listeners, you're here back live on the air at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. Had a finally big meeting today with the owner and proprietor of the United Wrestling Council, Manny Pinson. Had a lot of stuff to talk about, but finally back on the air with me. I know it's been a while. Some of it's been my fault because, you know, Freddie, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes when you don't pay the Frontier bill, they turn off the internet, and that's what happened. So it's my
luckily for me, I steal my internet from other people. So
I sat there and I kept going, what the heck is wrong with this? And I'm yelling and I'm screaming, and then I go, God dang it, I forgot to pay the bill. So luckily, you know, I got everything taken care of and we're back on the air or whatever. So I got a lot I want to talk about. I want to talk in the opening real quick to Freddie about a couple things. Then we're going to get Giovanni Varela on here at about the 7:15 mark. I want to talk a little Olympic judo because I watched it and the rules, I have no idea what was going on. So I got to get some info on him to get that together. So before we get into that, before we get Giovanni in here, and I want to talk to Freddie, after we talk to Giovanni about extreme wrestling, I want to talk about, I don't really even want to give the guy that much publicity, but this Nick Cage or whatever, I thought it was a travesty that they brought him into AEW, and I thought it really put a dark mark on AEW, but we'll talk about that afterwards. But real quick, Freddie, I haven't got to talk to you since, you know, the big Albert show. You know, for the people who are listening, you know, Albert had a really bad accident, and, you know, so they had a show to help him out, you know, with some medical bills and stuff like that. So I went down to go check it out. And Freddie, real quick, tell us a little bit about now when, because they had a big battle royal in the first match, and Freddie was involved in that. So do they say, look, the battle royal, you know, Freddie, you're going out fifth and do what you do or whatever. How does that all work out?
Technically, I wish that's the way it worked out. it's the Battle Royal. They actually wanted to partake in the show. Honestly, I offered my services for anything. It wasn't just to wrestle. I even offered to be a special guest referee for one of the matches. Just wanted to donate my time, especially for all the work that Albert's done for me, all the great help that he's always been for me. So when the opportunity came to be in the Battle Royal, I graciously accepted and was a part of it. You know, you're in the back, that everybody's kind of telling you what number you're going to come out, what number you're going to be. And you just kind of go out there and feel the flow. So it was a lot of fun. I was in the ring there with a lot of guys who I've never been in the ring with. And I got to do a few things, and you know, I got eliminated and called it a night. It wasn't about the win or loss. It was just about entertaining the crowd and showing Albert that we're there in full support for him.
And I didn't even see what happened. I mean, there was so many wrestlers in the ring, and it was just like mayhem. Everybody's throwing punches and kicks. So I didn't even see you get tossed over the third. I just saw when you were already out on the floor or whatever. And I said, damn it, then Freddie's out. So who actually got you and tossed you out? Because I didn't even get to see that.
To be honest, who was that? It was El Ticalero, formerly known as El Gran Cajon. He threw me out. Came from behind. I was, you know, he slipped from underneath me. I was on the top rope doing the 10 punch on, I forgot who I was doing the 10 punch with, and he just came up from behind me and shoved me in the back, and I lost my balance and flopped over.
Yeah, because I saw you, or Tequilero, or whoever, Red Spider Rudo, and Legacy, I think, and a whole bunch. It was like a whole mishmash of people, and I turned my head, and I came back, and then you were already out, and I was like, God dang it, I didn't get to see what happened or whatever, but it was so crazy. Everybody was just going wild and, you know, throwing punches and kicks, and because when you're in a battle royal, you it's almost like I would say a mixture of being in a mosh pit and being in a street fight, because you get bumped by somebody and they bump you into somebody else, and that's like a mosh pit, and then you turn around and see somebody, you get to swinging, and then you're trying to grab them and throw it out. So it's just like a am I pretty much on point with that, Freddie? Like a combination mosh pit street fight type of deal.
That's honestly the best way to put it, because that's exactly what it felt like. I mean, you don't know where the punch is coming from. You don't know anything. You just hold on, look, I got to sneeze.
Yeah, and then you got such a mixture of, you got these big dudes like Biggie Biggs and people like that, and you got smaller guys. So this guy might be bumping you, but then this guy's coming underneath, and it, you know, they can get underneath you, lift you up, and then the next thing you know, you're over that top rope, and that's it. So it was pretty good. You know, the battle royal, I think all the matches went really well. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, it definitely is an interesting thing. I mean, it's in a battle royal, for those that are, you know, trying to understand the nature of this, is definitely not a place where you want to, you know, perform some of your best moves in there. I mean, it's a quick punch game,
yeah,
kind of game in there. You know, it's just a brawl.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no space for anything that you want to do in there. I mean, you got to think of your safety as well as whoever's in there's safety, is, you know, at the same time, you know, it's a competitive nature, but you don't want to accidentally land on somebody awkwardly, you know, while they're on the ground or even on the foot, you know, break someone's arm, break someone's leg, break your own leg, for that matter. So it's definitely one of those things where, you know, you're not really thinking about, you know, oh, I want to do this move or I want to do that move. It's just, hey, let's just get in there, just try to toss as many people as you can, try to survive, hold onto the rope. I mean, if you saw Eddie Bison, right, Eddie Bison was kept sneaking in and out of the ring from underneath, from the second rope or the third rope on the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
So he had a nice strategy, and he actually made it all the way to the second to last, you know, guys. He got eliminated by Mike Check ended up winning the battle royal.
Yeah, and it was good, though. It was good that a lot of people came. The place was packed. A lot of people came out to support. I was really, really glad. I, you know, I got a chance to talk to Albert, and he, you know, it's weird because, you know, you want to help him out and everything, and I know how it is. Like, even just when you hurt your knee and you're on crutches, you just feel like, you know, you just want to be home. You don't want to be around people. And it was the same way with him. You know, he's in a neck brace and all that, and he's like, bro, man, you know, I know I really appreciate everybody helping me, but I just feel stupid out here because I'm in a neck brace and I can barely walk and all that. I'm like, dude, man, nobody's even thinking about that, dude. We just want to make sure you get taken care of, because wrestling, regardless of whatever, even if you have heat with somebody or whatever, it's a family, man. And at the end of the day, everybody wants to go home, you know, safe and stuff like that. But unfortunately, things like that happen. So it's good that, you know, people, you know, come out to support, help, just to let them know, hey, man, we appreciate everything that you do, and, you know, we want to help you out. So I think it went really well. I had a good time. It's been a long time since I just went to a wrestling show just to come check it out. I mean, I contributed because I ate probably 1,000 tacos. I had a couple beers. I got in the raffle because I really wanted that original Dr. Wagner mask that they raffled. That's what I wanted, dude, because that was the awesome, when it was just a plain white, they were doing like the doctor gimmick. It was pretty cool. Unfortunately, I didn't win, but no big deal because I was able to contribute. So I thought it went really well. So real quick, Freddie, I'm sorry, because we're running up again. One more thing I want to ask you before we get to Giovanni. Have you ever wrestled sick, like stomach sick, or like you either you ate something or you have like flu symptoms or whatever? Have you ever had to wrestle like that before?
Yeah, I wrestled one time with the fever. Just feeling like crap. I just didn't want to let anybody down. I probably should have been in the ring, but I do remember just being in there feeling like crap. Back in that time when it was happening, I was one of those guys that when I get really overheat exhausted, like my nose starts to bleed just randomly,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I was a bloody mess, and it was just everybody thought it was a broken nose. I was just like, no, it's just because I'm sick, you know, and it sucks, you know?
And do you think it's better? Because, see, here's what happened to me yesterday for the RGR production show. RJ Productions. You know, but you don't want to just go, hey, bro, I'm sick, and then at the last minute pull out, because that's what happened to me a couple of times, and you're scrambling to get somebody there, right? And then you don't want to go because you feel like shift – And you know what I mean? And you know you're not going to be your best or whatever. So I went and did the show, and I was working Power Baby Genesis. And I don't, you know, Freddie, I know we don't want to pull the curtain back too much. I know it's been pulled back a little bit. But let's put it this way. There were certain things that we wanted to do in that match. But once I got out there and couldn't do what I wanted to do, it just turned into an all-out brawl. And my opponent was getting a little bit upset. So it turned into probably one of the biggest brawling-type wrestling matches that I've ever had. I mean, I took off my belt. I got to whooping. You know, we got to swinging. I took a few in the back of the head. You know, and when you take a punch in the back of the head, you kind of get buzzed or whatever. So it just – everything just went south. From there, has that ever happened to you where just everything just goes south and it turns into a big brawl?
You know, that's happened to me a few times. I'm going to sit here and not lie about that. I mean, there's times where it happens, and you know, like you said, you don't want to pull the curtain too bad too much more, but, you know, at the end of the day, you – I mean, I know from, I speak for myself, but I'm pretty sure knowing you and knowing the way you are, you feel like crap because, you know, you want to do your best. You want to go out there not only for the fans, but, you know, it's for the person you're working with that night, you know?
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah. And you just, it's like I said, you don't want to disappoint or whatever, but you don't want to, you know, go in there and look like shit. But, I mean, it just, honestly, though, once you get to swinging and, you know, you get to brawling and stuff like that, it kind of, you don't feel it. But then afterwards, when you get out of the ring and you settle down, you know, dude, that's when everything hits. I mean, it's just lucky I had Jessica with me to drive home or whatever because, you know, I wouldn't have made it.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you're feeling it today because anytime I wrestle sick, under the weather or anything like that, I feel it makes my body feel even worse.
Yeah. Yeah, and once you settle, your body settles down, everything kicks in. Dude, I didn't even change or anything. I just threw a towel over my shoulders and jumped in the car, and we went home because I was dying, man. And plus, I didn't want to vomit or whatever or take a shift at the venue or whatever because I was dying. So I was supposed to just get out of here. So we took off or whatever. So, you know, I apologize. It came out okay. I mean, the people were happy, which means more than anything. So at least it worked out that way or whatever. But I feel bad when I do that, not for my opponent, but to my opponent who, you know, because we had stuff we wanted to do and it didn't work out. But you know what happens, man? It just happens. And if any wrestler thinks that's never going to happen, you're sadly mistaken. Right, Freddie?
No, definitely. I mean, I remember our match a few weeks ago. I didn't walk away too convinced that I had the best match that I could have put out there. I mean, you know, there was a lot of eyes on us and things like that. But I think you talked to me after a few of you talked to me. Like, look at the crowd. They're happy. I think as long as the crowd was happy, you know, and everybody goes home safe in the sense of, you know, you might go home with a few bruises and your black eye, but for the most part, you're going home the same way you arrived on your two feet. And then it was a good night.
Yeah, I agree, but you got to do what you got to do. But anyways, let's take a quick break. I'll get Giovanni in here. We're going to talk a little bit of judo and stuff real quick, and then we'll come back after that. I'll talk to Freddie because there's a couple things I want to run by him as far as the way I feel about extreme wrestling. Plus, Sabu was here yesterday. He worked out there for Mr. California. I didn't get any feedback on that, so I want to talk a little bit about that. But we'll be right back after this. We'll talk to Giovanni, then we'll get back to some wrestling. Hang on, everybody. right, we're back here ready to talk a little bit more about some wrestling and all that. But real quick for the people listening to us, you know what? I'm over here messing around, Freddie, and I forgot to grab my paperwork, which we just had a meeting about this morning. So we'll talk a little bit more about that because, of course, Paul's Photo, far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro, still photos or video. Paul's Photo will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all of your camera needs. Got to make sure we get that in, and then we'll talk a little yards after contact after that. But let's get to Giovanni real quick so we can talk a little bit of some judo and talk a little AJ McKee also.
Hello.
Hey, Giovanni, it's me, Fabiano. You're live. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I can. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. It's beautiful for the people listening. You're here. You're on UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all the latest information and everything like that. I got my man Freddie Havoc hanging with me, but on the line with me right now, when I'm watching stuff or whatever, whether it's judo, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and I have questions. This is who I go to all the time because this is one man who knows. Giovanni, real quick, before we get into talking some judo, I want to talk some Olympic judo. Did you get a chance to see AJ McKee fight last night?
Of course.
Well, you know, I gotta be honest with you. I've known Antonio McKee for a long time, and I've known AJ McKee because when AJ was at Poly High School, I was coaching at Millikan, and he was just a thorn in our side the whole time. I mean, he was just so good. Plus, you know, the lineage that he comes from and everything like that. So he had been a thorn in my side all through his sophomore, junior, and senior year. So I knew it was only a matter of time till this kid, you know, got into MMA or whatever. And when I believe it was a fight before Patrick Pitbull or the one before that, he, you know, the submissions that he hit were amazing. I was like, man, this kid, you know, he's really got something here. But when they put him up against Patrick Pitbull, I was like, man, that to me, that's a big step up for him. I think he's, you know, if he gets caught with the punch, that guy's got a lot of power. He's gonna knock him out. But, you know, the game plan or whatever, I mean, you can never substitute for a well-rounded athlete. Let's put it that way. I mean, he got that submission or whatever. So real quick before we talk some judo, give me your thoughts on that fight. I thought it went, you know, pretty well.
You know, most people think that AJ is just a wrestler. And that's
yeah.
it. Because they know that Antonio is coming from a wrestling background, and Antonio is a great wrestler.
Right.
You know, but his son, AJ, you know, he's a complete fighter. You know, his standing is scary. You see him knock him out tough guys, and you see him submitting great jiu-jitsu guys. You know, the fight before Pitbull was surprised because they thought that guy was going to give him a hard time, and AJ made it look so easy. Same thing as yesterday. If you notice, Pitbull didn't even punch him, didn't even hit him once.
Mm-hmm. It's,
you know, it made it look easy.
You know, I have a kid named Luis that I've trained with for a long time, and he went over to train over there with Antonio for a while with Jesse Juarez and all them. And he would call Antonio the sergeant. And I go, why are you calling the sergeant? He goes, because that guy's right along with you. I mean, he's constantly training. He's always in shape. You know, the dude's never out of shape or whatever. So that's why I call him the sergeant, because we do cardio or whatever, and the guy doesn't stop. He's just right there with you. So it all – and then I it's funny because the memory came up when I was over at Metroflex, and he was getting ready to take a bunch of guys to Big Bear to go train up in altitude or whatever, and we were talking, and he was telling me, because, you know, AJ's coming along, man. He goes, these people just don't understand. You know, we've been working for – and just really we had a good talk about everything that was going on. So I knew it was only a matter of time, but like you said, when he put him up against Patrick, I thought, man, this is a big step up for him. But, he handled it. So, I mean, what do you think the future – what I'm trying to say is, you think he'll stay in Bellator? I mean, because, you know, UFC is the top, and that's why everybody's in line. But it seems like he's got a good thing going in Bellator, and that he should probably, to me, just stay there, you know?
You know, I was talking to Antonio a few weeks ago. The thing is that he just won $1 million here in Bellator.
Yeah.
How many fights he needs to do in UFC before he gets that much money or earn the respect that he deserves? You know, in UFC, they don't really treat you the way you deserve. So, you know, like I tell my students here, if it works, don't fix it. He's doing great in Bellator, so why switch?
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like AJ said in the press conference, I honestly think that he's the best 145er now, you know, regardless of what promotion. You know, he's proven it, you know.
And that, for lack of a better term, legitimizes Bellator that, hey, man, we got fighters here. You know, we got fighters that can go. And
definitely. You know, and I think they deserve it, you know, because, you know, man, I know Antonio for, what, 25 years or maybe more, you know, before he even gets into MMA. And, you know, when Antonio was getting to MMA, he came to see me. He told me, hey, you know what, I want to fight. I want to do this. What should I do? And I refer him to Joe the Gentleman Charles.
Yeah.
And that's how Antonio started, you know. So, but, I mean, they've been working hard for more than 2 decades. They deserve it, you know. And some people think that AJ is new into the game. No, AJ has been doing it for over 20 years, you know.
Yeah, and it's good to see, you know, that it paid off or whatever. But real quick for the people listening, you're here, you're at UWC Radio, and I'm talking to Giovanni Varela. I got Freddie Gabriel with me. We're going to be talking, I'm sorry, Freddie Havoc with me. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. But before we talk some Olympic judo, if you want to go down and check out the Anaconda Academy, I highly recommend that you go down there and check it out. It's at 1342 Normandy Avenue in the city of Gardena. Go down and check them out, man. Great training over there. But hey, you know, Giovanni, I was, you know, it's kind of hard to catch the Olympics, you know, when you're working because they're on at all different hours or whatever. So I got to see a little bit of the judo. And you know, I thought for sure, you know, Japan was going to take I believe this is the first time that it was mixed, men and women, team judo. But France, I'm not going to say they came out of nowhere because I don't really keep up with it, but it seemed like a huge upset. I mean, that was the big talk yesterday about, you know, how France got the gold medal and they beat Japan. But real quick before we talk about that, about the upset, I am so, which is a shame, unwell-versed on the rules for judo, because there was a couple of times where the Japanese judoka took down the person from France, and then I guess if you hold them down for a 10-second count, there's different points. Can you kind of explain that real quick?
You know, it's they call it osaikomi. It's when you're pinning someone down for 20 seconds. You hold him for 20 seconds, you get an ippon. You hold him for more than 10 seconds, you get wasari. Wasari means half a point. Ippon means a full point. If you get an ippon, that's it.
Okay. I mean, see, even though I've known Giovanni for a while, this just shows that I wasn't paying attention, because I thought in judo, when you get to competition, once you take them down and they hit the ground, that's it. You get back up and you go again. But then I started seeing, you know, pulling the collar. I saw somebody get choked out and everything. So it's not just the takedown. Once you get them down, you work for the submission. And is there a certain amount of time that you have to get that submission?
Yeah, you know, if they let you go as long as they see that you're active. But that's what the rules say, according to International Judo Federation. But in reality, you know, they try to make it more viewable, more attractive to people. So if they see that you've been working 10, 20 seconds looking for the submission, you don't get it, the referee will stand you up, you know. They don't really give you time to work on the ground. But in judo, let's suppose you do a takedown, you get a wasari, which is half point, but you pin him for 10 seconds, that's another wasari, so that's another half point, that makes a full point, and that fight is over. But if you do a clean throw, you know, you do a clean throw and the guy lands on his back, that's an ippon, and the fight is over. You know, the rules have changed a lot, you know. And, you know, talking about the Olympics, you know, I'm not sure if you heard, but, you know, Sambo is in the Olympics now.
Yeah. I've read about it and heard a lot about it, so wanted to talk to you about that, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I missed that last one. So is it in this Olympics or not till the next one?
No. It's going to be in France 2024, and, you know, if God allows it, I'll be there too, you know?
Yeah, well, it's about time. I mean, I don't know what they're waiting for. I see, like, they put these, well, I mean, I really shouldn't say that, but, like, BMX and skateboarding, and I'm like, man, you were thinking about getting rid of wrestling, you know, and not putting that when you got these different really type of martial arts. And it's funny because when I had Gokoron years ago, I mean, when we first started 15, 16 years ago, right there by Wargoko, right off of Sunset and Hobart. When we had him on, he said, you know, when you go to the Olympics, that's the world. You're competing against the world. You're not the best champion from Colorado or whatever. You beat the best in the world, and that's why everybody wants to go to the Olympics. So when you have a sport and you win the Olympics, that's huge. That's, it's funny because we had like a big conversation about that. So now that Sambo's in there, that's what I'm saying. Now you see who's the best in the world. You get that gold medal,
you know,
then it's like really
fancy. You know, to the Olympics, they take the best of the best. So
Right. Regardless
of the result that you get once you're in the Olympics, okay, you're an Olympian. Regardless if you won or lost, you are an Olympian for life. Don't forget, they take only the best of the best. And look what happened to Teddy Rainier from France. You know, that guy is 6'8", 320 pounds, two times gold, Olympic gold medalist, 10 times judo world champion. And he lost it with the Russian, you know, in a funny way, but he lost. So that anybody can lose. But, you know, once you made it to Olympics, you know, that's like your dream, you know. So you'll be an Olympian. Regardless of the result, you're an Olympian for life, you know. So that's a great accomplishment for anyone who steps in there, you know. And for France 2024, you know, I'm hoping to be there as a coach because I'm the national coach for the Sambo team in Honduras.
Yeah.
So if everything goes according to plan, I'll be there coaching. And if any miracle happens, you know, I want to compete there, you know, and I think that's going to be great, you know.
That would be so awesome. I mean, it's about time, and you know, that they finally got together and got that in there. So we definitely look forward to that, and absolutely. And then once they see all that Sambo's going to be on the map, and everybody's going to be wanting to train Sambo. So real quick, once again, for the people listening.
Last week, I got three new students in my academy that they saw the Sambo in the Olympics, and they called me, hey, you teaching Sambo? I said, yes, I am. Three new students just from the announcement that they did on Facebook. So I'm not even advertising it. But, you know, don't forget that Sambo has two different styles. Combat Sambo, which is punch kicking, everything goes, you know. And then they have the Sport Sambo. Sport Sambo, we don't allow shocks. Combat Sambo, everything. Headbutts, you know, knees, everything. So it's just like MMA.
Yeah, I saw that, but they wear the headgear and the shin guards and everything like that, you know?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so that's gonna be awesome. Hey, well, that's what I'm saying. It's gonna move everything up another level. So if you want to go check it out, and believe me, if you want to go, especially, you know, it's funny because when I talk to Giovanni, always goes, you know what? If we're gonna go to competition, all we worry about is them to give us the rules, and then we can adapt. So it's kind of like I'll compare it to this: if you're a fighter and you fight at 155 and you stay about 165 or whatever, because you never know when you're going to get that call. You have to always be ready, you know, and it's the same like that. If we're going to go to a competition, we have to know all the rules and be ready and train everything so that, like you said, we found out the rules, bam, and then we're ready to go, you know?
Exactly. You know, combat Sambo is just like MMA. That's why Khabib or Fedor, you know, that's why they're so good, because to them it was an easy transition into MMA. You know, they both are combat Sambo world champions.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, man. I mean, when the Olympics come around, it's just awesome because it's on TV. Now it's on like four different channels and you can check it out. I was just glad that I was able to catch a little bit about that judo. So is it really, real quick before we get out of here, is it really that big that France, you know, took the team mix because it's the first year, so they're still kind of getting acclimated? Or is it like they've been doing it for so long, they just finally put it in there? Because it seemed like it was a huge upset.
You know, besides Japan, France is the second country with the most judokas.
Oh, okay.
You know,
close
to 600,000 competitors, you know, 600,000 practitioners in France. So it's nothing new that the France is that good in judo, you know.
Yeah,
I go to Paris and when I'm in France, I see Teddy's picture in all different malls, you know, advertising judo. I mean, judo is huge in France, you know.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. For the people listeners, if you want to go down and check it out, and I'll be honest, man, I believed in judo, but not, you know, I thought, well, nah, you got to learn your submissions. And, you know, I'm close to 300 pounds. I'm not going to be able. But when I went down there to the Anaconda Academy and worked, and we was a whole day, And just the, you know, when they dig those hips in, that's it, man. You're going over. You ain't got no choice. And I firmly became a believer after going to the Anaconda Academy and seeing what it's all about. And it's really, I tell everybody this all the time, that's where you want to go. It's a good family atmosphere because a lot of people get intimidated and stuff like that. But I go down there. They'll take care of you, man. And it's really worth it. So make sure if you want to go down and check out Giovanni or Marvin, it's at the Anaconda Academy. It's at 1342 Normandy Avenue in Gardena, California. Make sure you go down and check it out. You can. Is it AnacondaAcademy.com, Giovanni? I know I ask you that all the time.
It's Giovanni.com, and the number is 13428 South Normandy.
13428. Oh, my God, I forgot to put the 8 in there. 13428 Normandy Avenue in the city of Gardena.
They can find us online, you know, at Anaconda Academy, you know, in Gardena.
Yeah.
Or just some, yeah, just type someone in Los Angeles. By the way, you know, we are the only judo club, the only judo academy certified by FIAS, by the International Sambo Federation, and also by USA Sambo. So in the whole West Coast, we're the only ones that are certified to teach and train Sambo here.
Man, well, even more reason for you to go down there and go check it out. I had a meeting this morning with the owner of the United Wrestling Council, and he's like, man, how come you haven't been down there or whatever? But, you know, with the COVID, Giovanni, we are more busy now at the surgery center than we've ever been, because now I guess it's kind of coming back up. So they've been sending a lot more people over to us because they need the beds at the hospital. So we've been working 24/7, man. I mean, I haven't done a show in 2 weeks.
I know, I see you. I see you.
So it's ridiculous. So it's starting, hopefully, you know, it can kind of taper off or whatever, because Manny said, well, why don't you go down there? Because we could put some stuff up on our website as well as, you know, wherever to get it out there. So we should be coming down soon, Giovanni. I hope, you know, sooner or than later, because it's always a pleasure to go down there. Me personally, I'd like to go down when you have those big parties with the barbecues, because the last two I wasn't able to make it. So I definitely want to come down and check that out. You know,
super training and barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the one time I did go, you had all those judokas from all over, and they had the big seminar, and, you know, the kids, everybody. I mean, it was just a whole day.
Some of the judokas that I brought here to teach is Colton Brown, an Olympian who competed just now in Tokyo. I had Jason Morris, also a silver medalist, you know, from the United States. I had Sabon from Cuba, you know. So I brought some good Olympian judokas, you know, to teach the guys here. You know, it's for free.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend that you go down. I made a believer out of me, that's for sure. So for the people listening, make sure you check out the Anaconda Academy. I'll give that address at the end of the show for sure, so you could go down and check it out. Giovanni, always a pleasure, man. I mean, it's always a pleasure to get you in here so we get the, you know, I always have questions and, you know, able to answer them and stuff like that. It's always a pleasure to have Giovanni on. So,
my pleasure to be here with you guys, and you know that you are always welcome. Anytime, you know, this is your house. You already know it.
Absolutely. Always feel like family when I go down over there. Well, Cody, you know, my ex-producer, Cody Rhodes, who's in Arizona, he's always talking about coming down. He says, hey, if I come down, can we go check out the Anaconda Academy? And I'm like, absolutely, dude. When you get here, let me know. We'll go over there for sure. Because he was more impressed than anybody. I mean, he talked about it for weeks or whatever. So we got to get him down there with me. And we'll take Freddie, too, so we can get him tossed around. So, all right,
Joe.
Of course,
Freddie's also welcome.
For sure. Cool. Amen. Thank you for coming on. We hope to see you real soon. All right, my friend?
Anytime. Take care, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Giovanni. We'll talk to you soon. For the people listening, don't
take
forget
care,
to check out And Academy. And Giovanni Varela will be right back after this. A million thank yous for coming on. Anaconda Academy, everybody. Make sure you check it out. We'll be right back. Man, we got to take Freddie down there, man, to go check it out. Uh-oh, hold on a second. Sorry about that, Freddie. I'm going to call you back right now. Got to take Freddie off. Hold on, everybody. Let me get Freddie back on here real quick. That was me. I hit the wrong button on the switchboard. While we're waiting for Freddie to come back on, we can talk about. Hey, Freddie, my bad, man. I don't know what happened, dude. I took Giovanni off the board, and then for some reason you dropped. So I don't know. It might have been me, or because I have my glasses.
It was you. It was me. It was definitely you.
I'm telling you, man. I'm trying to blame.
I got that little message said, "Oh, thanks for calling." Like I was over here waiting for my, cue to come in. I was like, man, I got some exciting like jiu-jitsu news. You know, I was at a jiu-jitsu tournament.
When you got to work with the handicap, that's what happens. But real quick, before we get to talking about that, for the people listening, don't forget to check out Yards After Contact. Got to check out Yards After Contact, apparel, clothing brand, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Go to their Facebook page to check out some really cool pictures, especially the UWC custom cornhole boards, as well as shirts and t-shirts and golf shirts modeled by the owner and proprietor himself, Manny Pinson. You got to check it out because he modeled those bad boys and it is awesome. So make sure you check out Yards After Contact, which is your number one source for apparel and, of course, those custom cornhole boards. Check it out and get yours today. Yards After Contact is a proud sponsor of the United Wrestling Council and UWC Radio. All right, man. Sorry about that. I had to get that in. Hey, real quick, but, you know, I wanted to get you in on this. Two things. Okay, I want to get your thoughts on two things. The first one is, you know, they got this thing going on with MJF and Chris Jericho, blah, 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 whatever. He's running this gauntlet or whatever. So they brought in this kid, Nick Cage, who's supposed to be the King of Extreme, blah, 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 whatever, to come in and you know, do a death match or whatever with Chris Jericho. I don't think they need it. There is a place for death matches and extreme matches and stuff like that. So, first of all, I think that brought AEW down as a company. Do you think Freddie Havoc, that they would ever bring a dude like Nick Cage into the WWE? No. Why do you think they did it in AEW?
Well,
they didn't need it. Why did they do it?
Technically, they have done it already, though. I mean, define bring him in. Do you mean bring him in and give him a new persona or tone him down or just bring him in at all? Because let's not forget, Dean Ambrose was a deathmatch wrestler. Mick Foley was a deathmatch wrestler. And they just toned them down. That's all they really did.
But they still
have the history.
I don't like the fact, because I saw the biography thing that they had on the Vice Channel on him. Okay, great. You know, you almost got killed because you took a bad bump, blah, 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 whatever. And the thing, you know, with the David Arquette thing, you know, if you're going to do that, you need to either work with the dude or decline it. You know, don't go in there and take a tube and possibly cut somebody in the jugular vein. That shit doesn't fly with me. You don't do that. I mean, that's not, you know, like we said, everybody wants to go home safe. I didn't like that. I don't like that. So if you're not going to work with them and do business, then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't brag about it. Don't, you know, they're saying, oh, he died and he robbed a bank with no mask and he cut somebody in the jugular vein. I don't like that, dude. I think that's punk. I don't like it. So that's what. So I didn't even watch it. I thought I don't need to see Chris Jericho get hit with live tubes or whatever. I just didn't like it. That's just coming from me. Now, do you think that's cool? I mean, you think that's okay?
You know, I am a former deathmatch wrestler. I have mixed feelings about this. I need to be careful what I say, obviously, because you never know who's listening, right?
You're allowed to have an opinion, bro. It's just, that's it. That's just strictly my opinion. That's me. I'm an old man or whatever, but you have your opinion. Okay, let's put it this way. To me, there's a place for death matches, and there's a place for, but to me, it's even Sabu himself said, the end of the world can't come every day. You got to build it up. He goes, Taz and I never even touched each other for 2 weeks until we had our big match to build it up. So if it's building towards something, like, you know, I got this big, you know, thing going with Guyam, and, you know, I beat him up and I took his mask and I ripped it. So it, you know, so we'll, the end of the world death match is him and I are going to settle it in the cage. Bam, there you go. And then it's squashed. You know what I'm saying?
You said the key word right there. You got to build it up. You got to build it up. You have this death match on live TV. What's next after that? What's the big thing after that? A match with Ruben T. Guerrero? That's not gonna be bigger. That's not gonna be bigger than the Death Belts. Sure, they might have a great match, but they're also not gonna have the same match they had back in WCW. You're talking about two guys who are up in age, who are gonna have to probably gonna be a lot slower than they were before. Not knocking them down if they can't do it. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have an amazing match, but they're not gonna be the Juventud and Y2J from 1999. With that being said, you just went out there and killed yourself. For what? If anything, that death match should have been the last match of that series thing.
You make a great point.
In the third.
That's a great point. Maybe if they would have built it up and that would have been the last match in the five gauntlet thing or whatever, that would have made sense.
Here's the thing that people on phones don't realize. All that happened, as much respect as it happened, it killed a lot of the business. I want to say Jim Cornette said it best. What's going on in this business when you go out there and you have this match? Let's say this is the match we just had, Nick Gage versus Y2J. This killer match, right? You have all these people out there saying, "My God, these guys are fucking inhuman. These guys are killing each other. Like this is insane wrestling, right?" And then let's say the next match right after that is Joey Ryan and he's doing the dick flip. That dick flip. Just killed that match prior.
Because everybody's
on this high about wrestling being so brutal and can't believe people put their bodies through that. And now you got these guys in the ring doing a dick flip going, how is that believable?
Exactly.
It kills it. You got to build it. I haven't done a death match for a while just because of that reason. I'm not going to go in there and put my body on the line until there's a story behind it, so there's a build-up, so there's something. Not the first match. Then what's the point of the wrestling match? How do you go from having a hardcore match to just a regular match?
Right.
The drama's gone. The drama's out.
That's what I'm saying. There is definitely a place for it, but it's just, it's got to be build-up, and then that's the end-all to be-all. And it used to be like that in luchas. Guys weren't supposed to dive outside of the ring until it's the main event and it's the third fall, and which shows like you're going balls out Rambo doing whatever it takes to win. Now guys are doing dives first 2 minutes of the match, or whatever. So, I kind of get it, maybe because I'm an old whatever, but to me, I don't like that, and I don't like the fact that you glorify somebody who does something dirty like that, because that happened to me. I got my ear busted and stuff like that from Pogo the Clown, because he potatoed me and I didn't even know it was coming. Just boom, I went out. I've never felt a thing. I just went completely out or whatever. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are we doing? Or whatever.
Was that potato season?
What's that?
Was the potato season that least?
Yeah, yes, it was potatoes all gratin.
Wait, did they have some sour cream and some chives?
I never felt a thing. I mean, I just woke up and Ron Rivera was like, dude, roll out and whatever. And I'm like, okay, and it was over. And I had a busted eardrum and stuff like that. And like, okay, whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you're going to, let's say you're going to wrestle David Arquette, you're going to have a death match. You're going to say, you should at least say, look, if this tube, I don't like what you're doing, and I bust this tube, I might stick you with it. At least he knows it's coming, and he can defend himself. But he don't know. Next thing you know, you could kill somebody, dude. I mean, at least have the decency to say, this is what I'm doing, or whatever. Dude, same thing with New Jack. When I was there when he threw, what's his name, off that balcony.
I was there for that one.
I'm like, what are we doing? Now, that's a different story because I guess, he landed on top of him and cracked his skull or whatever. So, they had heat
there was
from that,
some
whatever.
There was some ill intent on that throw. And obviously, if you see the Vice special, you hear him say, like, he was trying to kill him.
But honestly, if you're Vic Grimes, you should probably be expecting something like that, right? I mean, you're not going to think you guys are going to go in there and work because the dude's pissed off. Or whatever. I don't know if he could have protected himself, but go ahead.
I've had my share of getting a receipt, you know, and it's usually a black eye, a nice little smug punch, you know, a smug kick, you know, something to remind you. Maybe the chair shot's got a little extra hump in it, but, man, like, I don't know. I mean, the whole David Arquette thing, going back to that, it's like, I have my take on that is David Arquette had no business in a match like that.
Exactly. So no either you take care of him or you don't accept the match or whatever. You know what I mean?
Clearly he loses his shit on that match because obviously you see him like start like not only not selling, but he starts throwing like legit punches at Nick Gage, and Nick Gage is there like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, David Arquette doesn't know. He doesn't know. That's like the thing that kid that started punching New Jack, and New Jack pulled out a blade and just stabbed him 9 times or whatever. You know, you gotta know what you're getting into, or whatever. You know what I mean? You gotta know. Hey man, this guy might actually do something. So you gotta either be prepared or don't accept the match. That's what I'm saying. I just don't. You know, the bottom line is, I don't think it worked. There's, like I'm saying, this is the point I'm trying to make. There is a place for that. There's definitely a place for stuff like that where they're going to come and go, dude, we don't know what this guy might get thrown off the top of the cage, blah, 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 whatever. So that's the end all to be all, and that's going to get everybody there. But the end of the world can't come every day. And then it's like you said, even when you said that's a good point. Even if they would have brought Nick Cage in but had it as the last match to like, dude, you went through whatever, but now you got to go through this. That would have made sense. Then I would have said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then, dude, put Jericho on the shelf for a couple of weeks. You know, hey, bro, he really went through some shit, and then he makes the big comeback. You know what I mean? That, to me, would have made sense. So, We'll leave it at that. I've been in a few death matches myself. I've been potatoed. I got a couple potatoes yesterday, but it was deserved. I mean, if you're going to dish it out, you got to be able to take it, right?
I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah, so it happens. But
it happens.
Anyway, give me that's my thought on it, okay? Because that's my thought. If it's working towards something that's building up, and you made a good point, if it would have been the last match, that would have made sense. So give me your last thoughts on that. It is, you know, there is a place for it. There's not. Well, you should wrestle somebody that knows what they're doing, or what's the final take on that?
I mean, my final take is yes, there is a place for it. There's always a place that will be a place for hardcore wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't think it hurts. I don't think it hurts AEW at all whatsoever. I think if anything, it's going to push them to the next level. I mean, if anything is going to push WWE right now, dude, you got to step it up because the PG era is not working. I mean, as it is, WWE is messing up big time. They just released Bray Wyatt for crying out loud. How do you drop one your top guy? In my opinion, your best player. Like, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think it's gonna
push AEW for that. There is a crowd for it. There is a sense of people that like that style of wrestling. I am a fan of it when there's a good story behind it. There's a good build up.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a fan of deathmatch wrestling, but I am not a fan of ultra violent matches.
Yeah.
There is a difference in my opinion in those style of matches. They're the same thing, but they are not the same thing. Two different style of matches. I don't lighting the ring on fire or getting whacked by a weed whacker like
yeah. What? was it Darby Allin's girlfriend who pulled a tampon out and hit the other girl with it or whatever? I'm like, what are you doing?
That was Priscilla Kelly or something like that. And she's signed to WWE right now. She's actually signed to WWE.
Oh, my God.
So,
what is this world coming to?
That's definitely, I mean, we're definitely not going to see that in WWE. You know?
Hey, I guess they're doing whatever it takes to get there. You know what I mean?
You know, I just feel like it's going to be big. There's a lot of good stuff going on in wrestling right now.
Yeah.
I don't think
it
hurts them. I think I know that Domino's is even involved in this whole situation.
Yeah.
And get over it. If anything, there's going to be people going to order your pizza now because all they're going to remember is Nick Gage going with a pizza cutter on someone's forehead.
As far as we know, that Nick Cage duty is one and done? Or?
I think that's what he is. I mean, I don't really keep tabs on tabloids and things like that. Some of the tabloids I've read have all indicated it's a one and done. I think he indicated it's a one and done. I think he's gonna return back to his company. I forget what company it is. It's GC Dub or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he's going up against Matt Cordova for that title that he just lost.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was cool. He kind of surprised everybody and came out, so that was pretty cool. But you know, speaking of extreme wrestling and stuff like that, Sabu was wrestling yesterday at De La O's against Mr. California and Ultra Violent, whatever it is. Listen, if I didn't have to work over there yesterday, I probably would have went over there to go check it out, because to see Sabu, the tickets were only $15 in a small venue like that. I thought, man, that would be worth it. I'm going to go check it out just to go see, you know, Sabu or what's going on. I haven't heard any feedback or anything like that about it. Have you heard anything at all, how that show went or how many people showed up or anything like that? I know Sabu was there because I saw some pictures of the fan, but that's not all.
I saw some video. I didn't get a lot of feedback myself either. I'm pretty sure John De La O tried to book Sabu for his next OCCW show.
No, that's what he did.
Right. Wow. He's like, hey. John always likes to come up on his talent.
I give you $40. Well,
It'll be bossed up.
Did they draw it all? Do you know? Or how was the crowd?
It looked like, I mean, from the video that I saw, it looked like they drew pretty well. I wasn't there, so I'm not going to say it, but I heard from a source that there was about 150 to 180 people there.
Damn, that's not bad.
And they put the ring inside the dojo, unlike the way WWE does it, where they put it outside of the ring. I would rather see it outside. Like I said, I wasn't there. I can't confirm those numbers, but I can't confirm that it came from a source that they a source that you know as well, Mr. Bill Chu, was the one that gave us that information. So if that information is wrong, ladies and gentlemen, go attack Bill Chu.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me because if I wasn't working, I would have went over there and go check it out, because $15 is cheap to go check that out. And, you know, no matter where you sit, you're going to have a good seat or whatever. So I'll try to get some feedback on that and see what's happening with that. So that turned out to be – go ahead.
Okay, there was a lot of good wrestling yesterday. I was too busy watching you wrestle yesterday, good sir.
You watched me wrestle? Where at?
I watched you wrestle yesterday. I have my ways, good sir. I saw you in the ring. Yes, sir, right there in Los Angeles. A friend of mine actually was doing a Facebook Live during a match, and we were watching the match.
Well, as sick as I was, it was the best I could do at that time.
So you see,
I did have a good
you
time.
See what kind of friend I am. I am the kind of friend that will watch your match over Facebook.
Well, there wasn't very much to watch or whatever, but, you know, we got through it and it went well. But we do have a lot of stuff coming up. UWC, we had the big meeting today, and we're steadily trying to get that venue. We're just working on because so many people want to see if the tournament's continuing and they're waiting for that match or whatever. So we are close. It's just a matter of them getting over there to the new Hawaiian Gardens venue. But we've talked to a few people in Torrance that we're working on and stuff, so we are actively working on getting that thing going. So you will see Freddie Havoc back in the room for UWC very soon. So, hey, Freddie, unfortunately, I got to get going. I'm running up against the clock or whatever. But real quick before we get out of here, anything coming up? You got anything coming up in the near future where the people can go see you?
You know what? August 13th at the John De La O facility, VW Returns. I don't have an opponent yet, but you know, we'll see what happens. I wanted to chime in a little bit when you guys were talking judo, because I actually went to a judo tournament a few days ago that I got to work as a camera guy that they were recording for a live pay per view for Fight TV. It was at this place called the Academy in Hollywood.
Yes.
They had some fighters come out from 12th Planet. from, I think it's Rojas Brothers Dojo or something like that.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not messing that up. I got to see some exciting stuff. Obviously, I was recording. I didn't get to really appreciate it. But I'll tell you this. The whole judo world is definitely one of those things that I didn't realize how close it is to the wrestling world. I mean, I was out there with the Zeta Vang, you know, and it was exciting to watch. I mean, the dojo, was it Rojas Dojo, one of their fighters, was the one that won the whole tournament, won $2,000 in the prize. Very exciting to watch, like watching these guys do their thing. I don't understand the rules. I think it's the Olympic thing. So I don't know if they do the same thing where they just start off on the floor. Or they start off by grappling, you know, but it was definitely something that I loved that I loved to keep going back and watching. It was exciting. The crowd was hot. It was a fun night.
Yeah, we gotta get down to Anaconda Academy, do some videotaping and stuff over there. We'll set that up, man, so we can check it out. But for the people listening, don't forget, check out Freddie Havoc if you want to check him out wrestling. It's VW. Is that gonna be at De La O's?
That's gonna be at De La O's. It's gonna be Friday, August 13th, they're calling it Summer Night, but it's 80s night. It almost feels like an 80s night, but there's going to be some big action matches going on. They're bringing in some stuff coming in. You got, I know OG Playboy will be wrestling. I know Chris Nasty will be wrestling. I know Crazy Chaos, doing the Real Cholo. A few other surprises are going to be coming up. Big stuff coming up.
Well, shoot me the flyer so we can put that up and the people can come check it out on our social media. And then, of course, we're soon to be back in the ring for UWC, Freddie Havoc. We look forward to seeing him. Big thanks to Giovanni Varela for coming on to explaining some stuff about, you know, the Olympic rules and Sambo getting back into the Olympics and all that. We look forward to that. And we look forward to getting that big show under our way. We'll work. As soon as we get everything set in stone, we'll make sure we get everybody right here on UWC Radio. All right, Freddie, man, thank you for coming on, dude. It's good to talk to you since we haven't been able to do the show for a while because I didn't pay my bill. my internet bill. We'll be able to roll from now on because I got to pay that. All right, my friend?
Well, we're rolling. Sounds good, man. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
All right. We'll see you soon. For the people listening, don't forget Paul's photo and, of course, Yards After Contact. We'll see everybody here next Sunday. All right, Freddie. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, late.